Dear ones, with God's help, this afternoon hour I have desire to find and read out of Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter number 2, I have desire to read entire chapter. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we give place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of uncircumcision was committed unto me, and the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go into the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as to the Jews, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is there Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Ye are not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. May the Lord bless these few verses upon our hearts. Uh, Dear ones, as we have read this whole chapter of the Galatians 2, it's a chapter about, especially the first part of the chapter, about confrontation that the Apostle Paul had towards Peter specifically, which wasn't really probably the highlight of their ministry here on earth as they serve the Lord together. I mean, in a manner, in the same spirit, and with an intent to spread the gospel and to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But we can see in the second part of this chapter that Paul had to rebuke Peter for the things that were happening and under Peter's leadership. I would like to trust that Peter wasn't maybe the one doing those things where occurred a problem where Christian Jews actually were pressing on the Gentiles to accept law, accept the Moses' law of the Jews that was good in a way, but it was also there for Jew people that didn't only include or contain the how the rules and how people should live to live life according to God's will and word, but also that were included a lot of ceremonial rules and regulations, how they should eat, how they should worship, and so forth. And this was done by few. But Peter has something against, Paul has something against Peter here because he did allow that. The stuff that was happening, that was not according to God's will. Because as Peter, who was the first actually who accepted a Gentile as a brother, we're talking about Cornelius when he was sent to a Roman soldier who was recognized by the Lord that he did live according to God's will. And he went there and he accepted and he baptized him and his family. We see the Apostle Paul was confronting Peter and the believers here in Galatia about things that should not matter to become a Christ believer. That those who are not of circumcision, those that who are not under the law of Jews, should not be forced to accept the law. Why? Because even as we mentioned, the law was good, had a good purpose. The law was not what will save those people. Law is not what is going to save us, but the grace of Jesus Christ. And as we heard this morning, that Simon, the Pharisee, needed to hear the words from Jesus Christ about how he was thinking that he was superior over the maid who was serving the Lord, Jesus Christ, who probably thought he was much better than her, and maybe because he was doing things according to the law. And he needed to hear the words of Jesus Christ, where he gave him example about who will love the more, the person who was forgiven more or the person who was forgiven less. And he concluded rightly. And dear ones, this can become a danger for each and every one of us personally, where we can maybe feel some superiority over someone else, maybe over those who have never heard of Christ, maybe those that live their lives far removed from the will of God, but equally need salvation as we do. Where Apostle Paul in verse number 14 says, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" In other words, why are you pressing the Gentiles, even though you are living the way the Gentiles do? In the sense that you have received the grace of Jesus Christ, why do you force, or why do you press those that are Gentiles to accept the law of the Jews? So we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Gentiles This doesn't mean that Gentiles did not know how to live immoral lives. This doesn't mean that Gentiles didn't know how to do the good things. But because they were not under the law, they were recognized as sinners. Sinners because they did not have that law to live according to. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Three times in this one verse is mentioning the same thing. Reiterating in a way that we cannot rely on the works of the law. Even though the law will show us if we sin or if we are wrong, this is not something that can bring us salvation. And this is where we often find ourselves imperfect or not good enough to serve the Lord. And many times we hear during testimony hours that souls have tried to do on their own. Probably all of us, many of us also tried to please our Lord Heavenly Father with our good deeds. Maybe coming to church on a regular basis. Maybe to not miss a single hour of worship towards Him. This is where we need the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace. When we feel unworthy, when we feel broken, when we know that we cannot do it on our own, when we come to that realization, I'm reminded of a son who left his father. It wasn't until he lost everything, when he was broke, when he was suffering so much in his life, that he came to realization. When he was broke, bottom of the bottoms. And this is the only time, dear ones, when these verses come to display, that we know we're not justified by works. When we know we need Jesus Christ, not because we did this or that, not because we came regularly to church, not because we were good kids or good citizens, but because we are broke. Because we know we're not worthy of that gift that has been given to us. Yet we receive that. It was still brought to us. And we should accept it freely. Freely, because we cannot afford it. With our deeds, we cannot afford it with our deserving of anything. The debt that was paid for us by Jesus Christ's life, that was washed with His blood for each and every one of us. We cannot work for it. We can try, but we will never be able to pay for it. But if we, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. I believe this verse is speaking about abusing, trying to abuse God's grace. If we are still found a sinner, are we making, therefore, Christ to be a minister of sin? Is it, in a sense, God's grace provoking a sin in our lives? Are we going to receive God's grace and misuse it? Are we going to say that we believe in Jesus Christ and we want to be saved by His grace, but then we go back to sin? We go back to do whatever we want because we know we cannot work out salvation. That we are receiving a free gift, and we will be just receiving it and going back to sin. This is a total absolute misunderstanding of God's grace. And we cannot misuse it, dear ones. Apostle Paul is saying, "For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." If I received God's grace, and if I'm going back to trying to work my salvation with my works. We do need works, dear ones, once we receive the Christ. We do need works to make our faith in Him and our love for Him alive. Apostle James is telling us that in 2nd chapter. If we say we have faith and we don't have works covering it, displaying it, we're deceiving ourselves. Because our faith is dead if you don't have works to follow with it. This is where we, when we die to sin. Brothers and sisters, on our day of baptism, when we buried the sin in a watery grave, when we were born again as a new creature that have received the Christ, a new creature where it's going to live, which is going to live a life glorifying the Lord with our actions, with our praises, with our thoughts, with everything we have. We do need to work to display our gratefulness, our new life, what we are all about. Not because we can earn our salvation, not because we earn our salvation because we loved or because we worked, but we love because we were loved. That we serve because we were served, dear ones. And we were served greatly, each and every one of us. Jesus Christ is the one who is with us always, each and every step of our lives. Jesus Christ is the one who will never leave us, who promised us eternal life, and who will not back up from it. God the Father promised us, if you remain faithful till the end of our lives, that we will be with Him for eternity. Let's not back up from it. Let's not abandon our promise to serve Him with everything we have, with everything we do. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. We needed that law to realize that we need Christ. We needed that someone to tell us, to remind us that we're lost. That everything that we are all about, if you don't have Christ, we're doomed. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. How are we crucified with Christ? Jesus Christ took our sin. Took our sin to the cross. Because we were not able to carry it. We were not able to in a sense to survive with that on our shoulders. Jesus Christ took it. And He took it happily. He was glad to take it for us. That's why He came to this earth. And this is why, dear ones, He gave so much for us because He loved us. Because He wants us to be with Him. Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Do we feel like even if we are crucified with Christ, that we live? Do we feel like we're living life of Jesus Christ, or that we life for Jesus Christ? Is my life on this earth glorifying Jesus Christ, my Savior? Is my life showing appreciation and honor for the sacrifice that I have received? Am I ashamed to speak his name, to spread his gospel, to bring all those that I love and respect and are close with, bring them to Jesus Christ, to help them realize that this is why we are on this earth, that we are here to serve the Lord, that we are here to receive this salvation through grace of Jesus Christ. That we're not here to earn it. We're not here to try to somehow deserve it, because we can, dear ones. And this should be very clear to us. And Apostle Paul is making it very clear to us. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Can those that don't know God see in ourselves that light? Even though we're not perfect, even though we might be not presenting that light, maybe in a way that it should be presented, that we live our lives just for that one purpose, and that's to shine the light to this world, to be a salt to this earth. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. We know that Christ is not dead in vain. We know that Jesus Christ did die on a cruel cross for each and every one of us. If you don't accept it as a gift, as a grace for each and for us personally, then yes, it is in vain. If he, dear ones, misuse his grace, if we abuse it, it will be in vain. But as we mentioned, dear ones, this is not where we're meant to be on this earth. We're meant to be his children. We are meant to be with him. But we do have choice, each and every one of us. We do have obligation. If you hear his message, if you heard the gospel call unto salvation, that we cannot ignore it, that we cannot take it lightly, we cannot play with that, but we need to take it seriously, because each and everyone's future is dependent on a choice we make, and a choice we make today. Therefore, dear ones, my heart's desire is that we take that call seriously, the invitation that is given freely to us, the way that is paid for us, each and every one of us, that we take it seriously, that we take it not for granted, and we live our lives according to God's will and his glory, to his glory. May the Lord bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.
You know, this chapter is all about faith without works. And I can remember when I was young and unconverted, and I wanted to come to the Lord, but I thought, I couldn't do that. I could never do that. I was always fearful that I was never going to be able to keep that way of life, I was never going to be able to live a Christian life. It was just too strong. It was too stringent. It was too restricted. I just was not going to be able to do it. But you know, Satan had me convinced that that's the way I could do it. I would just live my life like that. But when I come to the knowledge of the truth and realize that I can't do it on my own, I can't do it myself, I have to rely on the Lord. And it's only by His grace that saves us. You cannot save yourself. No matter what you do or think you can do, it won't work. You simply got to have a faith and belief in Jesus Christ and trust in Him only. That's the only way you can find your soul salvation. And so with the works that we read about today, your works, you can't do it. The only work you have to do is have faith and trust and believe in the living God. And He'll see you through. May God bless these words upon our hearts this afternoon. Amen.